looking at engaging God, we are following the pathway of relationship at the moment, really to go deeper with God and have deeper intimacy. That means that heaven engages us. Everything flows from the inside out through the gateways of our spirit, soul, and body, so that the world can experience God's love, God's power, the kingdom through us. And we've been looking at the fact that we have access to a legal or judicial system of the kingdom of God to keep our gates open, to open them and keep afloat. And we're on the fourth module of the Engaging God program, so we're looking at using the court of accusation. And that's a picture of our spirit, soul, body, a diagrammatic expression of the fact that we have different gateways within our spirit, soul, body that are all designed to engage with the glory of God, God's presence in the midst of us. And as we have our gateways open, then God desires that his glory and what's around us would actually just flow out. And so we engage the world with our spirit first, not our body. Now that's very different from how we've been brought up and what's happened in our life, because our spirit was locked up on the inside of us, separated from God. It had no access to engage around us. But as we're born again and the Spirit of God comes to live in us, and then we open our first love gate and allow the Spirit of God to fill us and then flow through us as rivers of living water, then God desires to engage the world, and so we can engage the world. So we can see and experience through our spirit first, and therefore not be subject to the natural things. Now, we've seen that everything focuses down on worship. Will we come in obedience to God and allow him to direct our lives? And often there are familiar spirits that sit outside of our spirit gates that try to hinder that process. And then when it comes to our soul, the issue is, will we choose? Every one of us has free will to choose what we do on a daily basis. And on that free will choice, God has, in a sense, given us dignity in that he's trusted us to make those choices. And that free will can be affected by, again, familiar spirits that sit within our soul gates that can bring guilt and shame, and they have mindsets and lies and hurts and doubts and fears and various other things that are to hinder our choice and to affect our choice in a negative way. Because our soul has been operating independently and we've learned to do that way, the soul has ties to our spirit that we need to break, and we looked at that in an earlier session. So today we're going to look at court cases, different sorts of court cases, and we're going to take two sessions to do that because there are a lot of different ways we can engage the court. The enemy is a legalist and has to have legal permission and a legal right to be able to operate. Adam and Eve gave him that initial legal right through the fall, and that's been passed on generationally. Jesus came back to undo what Adam and Eve did. And so now, when we're born again, we can be set free from the effects of what we call the fall. The only true authority that exists in the whole universe is God's and what he's given to us as his children. But we have the right to give that away. And if we give that to the enemy, then we give the authority for him to move in our lives. So to remove the enemy from our gates, we need to remove any legal rights that exist there. Zechariah 3, 1 is the passage we've been using to illustrate the court system in heaven. And Joshua was the high priest. But where was he standing? He was standing in a heavenly court. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing on his right hand to accuse him. That's the basis of the mobile court. We obviously know there's lots of other different courts that do different things, but this is the mobile court. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you." Joshua didn't really have to do anything other than stand there. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and standing before the angel, he spoke and said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." God does it all if we engage the court and then learn to follow the procedure. So if we're going to use the legal system of the court, we need to understand the protocols of the court, we need to understand our legal standing before the court, and we need to know how to stand covered by the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the love of God in the new covenant in which we're in. In the court, there's the judge, God, the advocate or lawyer, Jesus, the accused, us, the accuser, familiar spirits or other demonic forces, and there may be witnesses, seven spirits of God or our angels. And this process is one that we can engage by faith. You don't have to fully see everything to engage it, but it exists. We have a word and lots of scriptures that back up the existence of the court system, and we can use that to gain access to it. Now, we have many individual testimonies of court cases. Some of them are too personal to share specifically, but I'm going to share some examples of the type of things that we do in our own personal lives, and then we're going to look at some corporate examples. Blockages to remove employment. Those blockages have been removed using the court system. Blockages to payments in business have been removed. Blockages to business opportunities. Conflict in school. Resistance to delivery in business. Those things have been removed. Resistance to delivery of parcels, which just seems bizarre, but we had good two testimonies. One took the testimony of the other person, used it, and actually parcels that were delayed in the post for some up to 6 months, actually, when a court case was done, appeared within 2 days. Because some of these things are resistant blockages in our lives to blessing, and God wants to enable us to remove those things. So there are many other examples which we've used individually, personally, to change and adapt our behavior, to set us free from things that are holding us in bondage, break us free from mindsets. And each of us probably have testimonies that we could use to illustrate the fact that the system of using the judicial system in prayer, rather than asking God to do something, or warfare in prayer to try and force something, we actually get legal authority in prayer, and then we can use that to facilitate change. Change in our lives, change in our circumstances, change in our community, change wider afield. Now, we've done also many corporate court cases, and we've done that in various groups within the church over the last few years. And again, when you do this corporately, there's a procedure you can follow that enables you to get a verdict and see change. So we've got testimonies of the results of using the verdicts to remove obstacles, opposition, and to see breakthrough. That process has operated within our bench of 3, 7, 12, the mountains. Individuals have done court cases on behalf of those groups so that we can actually see God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to establish it as a judicial authorization in heaven first. Now, when we do a corporate case, we step into court together. We stand under the covering that God gives us of his word and his love. One person usually presents the case, and then we all hear the accusations. And we've learned to do this through practice. And then we step back into this realm, share what we individually received, and write down the accusations. This is an important part. We all agree and accept our guilt. Even if actually we may not have been personally responsible for every single thing that we received, we must stand together in unity and accept and stand on behalf. So that's an important fact. We then step back into the court and deal with the accusations that have been brought. Now, initially, when we first did this, you know, me or someone else more experienced would do the presenting the things, because we didn't quite have as many accusations in those days because people weren't hearing as much as they do now. Sometimes we get 3 or 4 pages of A4 in accusations. So now each individual person who heard the things deals with the accusations they heard, which means you only have to remember the bit that you got, which is easier. One person then usually ties things up and the judgment is made and the verdict is released. And in that process, we have seen lots of different things change in that corporate engagement. We've seen financial blockages within our project removed. When we did that, we found out there were certain things. We were out of alignment with God in certain areas. Some things had not been totally righteous in areas. Well, we were able to stand and repent, renounce those things. And then we started to see the blockages removed and finances released. We've done court cases for sickness. In one case, there was a person in the church who was in ICU with a life-threatening disease. The bench of 12 met to stand on behalf of that person. We heard the accusations, repented and renounced on that person's behalf because they were unable to do so because they were, you know, on death's door, basically. We received and released the judgment. And then we claimed healing as justice and made declarations. And as a result of that, we then released the authority that we received to our health mountain, and they went into the hospital and prayed. In actual fact, I was messing around at the time, practicing doing certain things. So I went in the spirit into the ICU and actually released the verdict in the spirit realm and rebuked the spirit of death that was hovering there. So there are things you can do once you learn how to access authority in the kingdom. So within 10 days, that person was home. Now, it's also important that the person themselves then takes responsibility for the accusations themselves. Because if they carry on behaving the same way and doing the same thing, then they'll just open themselves up again. So when you do something on behalf of somebody else, ideally you want to be able to share with them so that they can own, take responsibility, and then begin to change. Otherwise, the enemy will continue to have access. Now, we can also stand as an individual to identify with a person or an area that we have responsibility for. You can't just do this for anybody or anything. You have to have some level of authority in this area. Now, that may be because it's in one of your spheres of influence, affected by your mountain. It could be that you're within one of the benches within the church. Therefore, you have access to have authority for people within the church to bless them and to encourage them. Or you may get a specific direct mandate or authorization from God to stand on behalf of someone or something. But make sure you have the authority. Don't just go into the court and try and take something. There are some, you know, some horror stories of people who've tried to step outside of their perspectives. I know listening to Robert Henderson, who does a lot of teaching on the court system, he told the story of two ladies who decided they were going to take on the prince warring spirit over New York. And they decided they were going to do that, but they didn't have access to the heaven to do it. They did it on the earth. And within 1 year, both of them died from the same form of cancer. It's like you've got to be careful. We have authority, but you have to use that authority within the boundaries and the limits that we are in our own personal responsibility. Some people can do that because they've been authorized to do it. But be careful that you only operate according to that which you've been given authority to do. You have to be willing to identify with what or who you are representing. You can't go in there and try and do something without standing in on behalf, in the gap, or interceding for them and be willing to take responsibility. That could be for a family member, the church. It could be for your town, city, region, nation, government. And beyond that, you know, there are people who are doing court cases for the planet and solar system, the galaxy and other things, because there are things out there that there is lacking and the enemy wants to take advantage of, and God wants to help and encourage us to bring order into those things. So Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. So we have authority within the kingdom because we're co-heirs or fellow heirs with Jesus. Therefore, we have his legislative authority within our spheres of influence. So we have to use it. So what is legislation? You know, I'm doing a lot of legislative groups at the moment, looking to help people with these things, establish government and to establish the kingdom in these areas. But what is legislation? A definition for legislation is the process of making or enacting laws. It's just a dictionary definition. So legislation can mean you make laws, but also you enact the laws that are already on the statutes, if you like, and use the law to effect change. A law or a set of laws suggested by a government and made official by a parliament. That's another definition. And we have done some of those things here. So there are laws that are made in different courts, but those laws can be used as the basis of preparing court cases for the mobile court. having an access to understand your authority and laws that have been passed give you a basis to make judicial decisions. As a bench of 12, we've been exercising that authority in producing legislation. And some of the things God has shown us is how to do that. Now, personally, God took me, and wisdom actually took me, on a journey of going through the court of kings and the court of chancellors and the court of scribes and then engaging the court of angels to be able to bring a law into being. And we've been practicing some of this ourselves. Sometimes, if you're operating a level of authority in the court of kings, you can legislate something out of your spirit. Sometimes you're given the legislation that's already been made, and we've been practicing both of those. So we've four laws that we've put on the statutes that we have the authority to come under that law and to exercise that law here. One is the law of fatherhood and sonship, which is the one initially that I brought, and we, as a bench of three, we then sought a strategy for how we could bring that into law. And we followed that strategy, outworked it, and then established it. Now everyone here is free to have the fatherhood of God and to them to come into an understanding of sonship in a way which wasn't the case before. A couple of weeks ago, a lady was here. She just had an encounter with God while she was here in fatherhood, and she said, "You just don't realize the nature of the fatherhood of God that's here." Because she was sensitive to the fact that we operate under this law. We've also, through the Harmony Mountain, brought three words, the law of inheritance, law of restitution, law of recognition. And we followed a process of how we established what those meant as a group, stepping into heaven, getting revelation, then taking that revelation, bringing it into a law which had a object, actual laws, and then declarations to be made on the basis of those laws. And now we've released that to each of the mountains and to the bench of seven, and everyone here will start to come in the benefit of the law of inheritance, restitution, and recognition as they're released. That will enable you to do things in your own lives and in your own court cases to get things back, to receive an inheritance, but also to have restitutions for the things that have been stolen from you, and to be given the position that God wants you as his children. Now, as I said, the Bench of Seven can now administrate those laws to the people here gathered so they can be blessed. Each of our mountains can administer those laws and make decrees, declarations on the basis of them. And each person can use those laws as judicial authority to make cases in the courts for justice in your own life. Where there is injustice, where you've been robbed, you can get justice and you can get that changed and restored, and you can get back what belongs to you. When Ian Clayton was here in August 2011, we had rioting and looting in some of the streets of our cities. And he didn't like that, and we didn't like it, and we agreed with him to do something. And he led us in an example of standing in identification for our nation and accepting responsibility for its sin and behavior. And we did that corporately as we were gathered in the conference. And we received and released the judgment, and the rioting actually stopped within a day. Now, some of these things, when you operate together in unity, one can put 1,000 to flight, two, 10,000, three, 100,000, then go up exponentially. So when we come together and we're in unity, heart, mind, and purpose, we have authority to change things on a grand scale if we know what to do. So here's a basic example that have been adapted from that court case in 2011 that you can use. You know, again, these are words that others have developed, but make your own if you feel called to this level of government. Father, today, by faith in the name of Jesus, I take responsibility for the sin of my nation. I stand on behalf of my entire nation, the cities, the towns, the homes, the government. Now, I wouldn't encourage you to do this unless you've been given a mandate to do it, because not every one of us can just step in and take authority for the whole nation, and it's sin. You know, you have to be at a level that you can handle that responsibility and know what to do with it. Today I take responsibility, I stand on behalf of my nation, I confess as sin what I have done, and ask you to search me, O God, try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me, where I have sinned against you, trespassed by your laws through sin, iniquity, or blatant arrogance. Now, if you're going to stand in identification, make sure you deal with yourself first. Judge yourself first and get God's judgment, then the enemy has no access to you in the process. Don't just go in there without the judicial protection that you need through the court. Father, by faith, I confess that I have sinned, so judge me, judge my inner parts, forgive me. Now as a priest, I stand under the covering of your word, the tabernacle of your testimony of your word, and allow you to judge me. That's dealing with yourself. I stand as a representative of my nation, and in the name of Jesus, I allow you to judge me under the blood of Jesus, whose life was given for me according to the testimony of the cross. And now, as you have judged me, by faith I take the blood of that government and I stand it over these towns, cities that need judgment of God into the demonic world, which is motivating sin in my nation. See, we are under the atmosphere of the earth. And that atmosphere has within it certain principalities and powers and forces of wickedness that seek to control the culture and the behavior of people on the earth. And therefore a whole region or a city or a town can have a particular thing operating which is controlled by that system. So it's important that we know what to do with that. Today I extend this rod, the word of God, of the judgment of God over this town and my nation, over the demonic spirits that have access into the hearts of men and women. As I have judged myself according to your word, I release the judgments of God to the demonic world that operates in this area in the name of Jesus. Now, this is a fairly sort of generic prayer or sort of court case, but you can do specifics for very specific things once you've been given authorization and revelation. I open the everlasting doors that the King of Glory might come in and the kingdom of God will flow into my community and nation. I call forth the destinies long stolen and hijacked by the demonic realm, and I bind people to the will and desire of heaven, to their heavenly calling and destiny, and loose them from the ties of the demonic realm, from sin, deception, pride, from fear, from arrogance, complacency, from religious spirits, from disobedience, from apathy, hopelessness, witchcraft, Freemasonry, addiction, sickness, poverty. I stand in the gap for my nation and my community as a boundary stone, wielding my authority as a royal priest and a son of God. Now, you know, in that generic sort of court case, it's an example of the sort of thing you can do when you're authorized. And we and others in the different authorities we have in the church are doing certain things like that to remove the enemy's authorization and access so that we can see the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Last week, we looked at building a case for healing. So you can build a case within the courts using God's nature as a healer, and his very nature is that he wants us to live in health. So we can use that. But the word of God regarding Jesus taking our sickness to the cross and overcoming it is another thing you use in effecting that. Health being our inheritance as children of God is something that you have to receive. And it's a huge one that we face because the world is full of sickness. And we need to overcome that. So we need to build that in regard to the Word of God, the truth, and God's nature. But that's only part of the issue. The second part is we have to deal with the legal rights of the enemy. So there are other factors when dealing with sickness in the courts. Sin. My sin could give the enemy access to my life if I don't repent. Generational sin could give the enemy access to my generational line. Iniquity, past and third, fourth generation. Curses. Blood covenants made in Freemasonry give family line access to sickness. Hereditary factors, triggers and switches in our DNA as a result of epigenetic factors where our generational line has created things within us that have been passed on. So we need to deal with those things. Abusing our own bodies through our lifestyles. If we have abused ourselves and our own bodies or minds by the way we've lived, then the enemy can use that as an accusation against us. using external material things that try to meet our unmet needs or unhealed hurts. Using food, alcohol, drugs, or even adrenaline as a coping mechanisms or rewards or pain blockers. And there's so many things that we may have done or tried to do in our lives to cover and to deal with the things that are on the inside that could give the enemy legal right into us. You know, some people have got lots of broken bones because they're adrenaline junkies. And they're adrenaline junkies because they use that adrenaline to meet a need in them. So if you have loads and loads of broken bones because you've done something like that, you've abused your body because you've been using something which is a legitimate thing in an illegitimate way. And we may use alcohol or food or other things that may have affected us, and therefore we have to deal with that in the court. So an example of courtroom procedure and a prayer for healing of physical conditions or sickness. Look at an example of this. Again, when you do something like this, use your own words, develop it in a way that you can do it yourself. Make a list of all the issues in your body. You know, what are the things in your body that you want to see healed, restored, and made whole? By faith, step through the veil, present yourself in the court before the presence of the Lord. Call the court into session. You can use the same basic procedure in each case. Father, I thank you that as heirs of your kingdom, you've given us the right to present ourselves before you. You've made us kings and priests and have given us the ability to operate the judicial process of heaven, which is that preliminary part of the process. Today, by faith, in the name of Jesus, I enter your realm. Father, I ask the mobile court of heaven come into session right now so that it would begin to engage the atmosphere here today. Father, today, by faith, I enter your court. I ask that my mind and body be given the right of accusation against me as a spirit and soul being. Now, you have to be pretty brave to do this, I guess, because who knows what your body and mind might bring up. But if you really want to be serious about coming into health and wholeness, you have to deal with these type of things. And in a sense, in any way that I've subjected it to abuse, that has created infirmities within this body that carries me, spirit and soul, today, Father, by faith, I bring myself under the covering of Jesus and his blood. As I confess both my sin and the accusations of my body against me, I ask, Father, that you judge me through the new covenant to break the yoke of infirmities that I have allowed to come around my physical body. So, Father, today by faith, state your list when you do it, or any specific that you feel you want to do in any case. Read it out and ask in terms, it could be for yourself, it also could be in your family line. I give my mind and body the right to accuse me today, to have a voice in the court. I call for any spirits of infirmity to accuse me today. I will not justify my behavior, but I will confess it as my sin. Listen to the accusations. You have to hear the accusations. So you have to listen. Those may come as thoughts in your mind. They may come as pictures, impressions, memories. Various things may come. Even you can get a memory of something that's happened in your family line that you have no physical memory of, but familiar spirits do. And you can get that memory through their release as they've bring the accusation. So, Father, today I say to the accusations that have come into the court, yes, I have sinned. I have confessed my sin to you, Father. I acknowledge the accusations of my mind and body and other spirits against me. I accept that they have given Satan legal access to engage me and to bring infirmity, sickness, disease into my body, your temple. I ask my body's forgiveness for subjecting it to abuse or excess. Really important part. You have to ask for forgiveness because you've done something to affect it. Lord, I ask you by faith to release my mind and my body now. I forgive myself for what I have chosen to do in abusing my body. I forgive anyone in my family line that opened the door to generational sickness or negative epigenetic factors in my DNA. I repent on behalf of my generations and acknowledge the sin and renounce it. Lord, by faith, in the name of Jesus, I ask all these accusations be judged through the cross, the blood of Jesus, as I hide myself under your coverings. As you judge me, Father, I ask that you judge these infirmities where I have given the enemy right of access and power within my body. Jesus, thank you that you engage my physical form to bring it into health and wholeness so that I can be able to bear the full record of your DNA. If we have things within our DNA that do not carry our eternal record, then we need to get them changed. That's why we have communion and communion prayers, and particularly in terms of the declarations that they are made there. Thank you, Father, that you begin to engage my mind and body, that you, Holy Spirit, begin to brood over my mind and body and bring it into divine order. I ask that angels be sent into the body parts room and bring to me here on earth all that I need for my body, that my mind and body would come into alignment with you, and I will walk in divine health. That, you know, is a thing. Now, Father, I ask that you sign off this now, and this be recorded in heaven, and your word would speak healing into my body, because it is written, by his stripes we are healed, in the name of Jesus. So once you've done something like this, you have to take the verdict and use it every day to bring an alignment with the truth. Because you have the word now established in heaven, you take that word and outwork that on the earth through that. So, Father, I thank you for giving me the right to come before your throne of grace to receive mercy in my time of need. I honor the governmental seat of your person today, and by faith I choose to accept and receive your heavenly authority. I step back into the physical realm, bringing with me the complete legislation for the restoration for my body on the earth. I administrate in the very core of my DNA the supply of all that is needed to restore my mind and body. So these are things which you have to outwork. And it's just an example. There are many other things that you can use judicially in the courts to deal with things that the enemy has a right in your life. Any addiction, you can use the same basic process. You repent for what you've used it for. You deal with the accusation. You receive the verdict, having received the judgment of God, and then you use that verdict to bring freedom into your life every day. Administrate it every day. Stand on the fact that you are now free from that sickness, free from that addiction, free from whatever bondage, free from whatever lie or mindset that the enemy has had over you to effectively keep you from the fullness of your inheritance in God. God wants to give you your full inheritance as his children. Now that is way beyond what we can imagine or think. But we have to step into it and begin to administrate it. The enemy has robbed and stolen so much from us. Stolen relationships, stolen family things, stolen our authority, stolen our mantles. Some of that's through our own sin, some of it's through generational issues, but we can get it all back. So you can demand 7 times restitution for anything the enemy has stolen or robbed. Now, if he's stolen or robbed something you only need one of, you can use that restitution to give 7 of those things away to others. It's like you then have the authority to release that into your family or your friends or the church or the town. You can use the authority you have in the kingdom to establish the government of God. But we have to use the court system. It's the judicial system of prayer that God has given us to get the authority that we need to effectively see that outworked from heaven onto the earth in our lives. It's like we cannot try and just, okay, God, please, will you do this for me? We used to do that, and he's very gracious when we were operating immaturely, and he did a lot of stuff on our behalf, just as we do on behalf of our own children when they're little. You know, we sort out their messes, we tidy up, we change their nappies, we do all sorts of stuff for them on the basis that we love them and we're wanting to help them grow and mature. But when you get to a point of maturity, then God says, well, it's now time you did that for yourself. You know, and stop making messes in your nappy and stop wearing a nappy. You know, there's, you know, diaper if you're in the US. But there's a whole system of maturity that we need to come into so that we can embrace who we are as God's children, so that we can understand the authority that we've been given, but you have to choose to exercise that authority. Don't fight with the enemy. This is not warfare. This is exerting legal authority to enforce the government of God. We don't have to fight with the enemy. He's already defeated. But if he can pick a fight with us, and we fight with us, we'll always end up on the losing side of that fight, because we're not supposed to fight with him. We're supposed to exercise authority, because Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. He also said that the enemy is under our feet. He has given us all authority over all the power of the enemy, that it will no way harm us. But it has to be under our feet. So much intercession and so much looking to see the kingdom come is done under the atmosphere rather than over it. We have to convene the court above the spiritual authorities that exist in the world. Therefore, we're over them. Therefore, they are under us. If you're doing it under them, then that's why so many intercessors end up burnt out, bashed up, and defeated, because they try and tackle things from under it rather than over it. So it's really important to understand the authority and where to use it, how to use it, and effectively use it in your daily life. No matter what is, whatever the situations are, you can use God's kingdom authority and the angelic realm to effectively outwork that. See, when we deal with the atmosphere of the earth, we don't have to go into the atmosphere of the earth. Once you have a verdict given, the enemy recognizes that verdict, but tries to trick you and fool you and deceive you into the fact that it doesn't work. But also the angelic realm recognize that verdict, and they are make themselves available to respond to the verdict that God gives. So the angelic realm is available for you to use. So you can assign angels into the atmosphere of the earth. You can assign angels into your family line. The angelic realm is there. Jesus had 12 legions of angels at his disposal to help him. Now, I don't believe, as we're co-heirs with Jesus, I don't believe it's any different for us. We've just never learned to use the angelic realm, because they're ministering spirits who minister on those who will inherit salvation, which is us. But we have to use it. You know, I remember Ian Clayton saying that most angels are bored because basically we never engage them. You know, they're assigned to us, but because we never use them, they basically are just waiting for us to respond. They're waiting for us to get a legal accusation that says, hey, I am now authorized and I release the angelic realm to operate in protection and put boundary stones around my life and around my family's life and around our town. As a church, as a bench of three, we met one day and we stepped into heaven and we were looking for, okay, what is God wanting to do in this next season? And we actually saw lots of different things. But what we saw was God wanted to establish a dome or an invisible shield around us. You know, and I actually saw the enemy, and it was a pretty ugly looking thing, come charging up and just head on hit this dome and went splat because it couldn't see it. So it's like, well, okay, what is this dome? Well, we asked God for the revelation of what it is. And God said it was going to be the declarations that our seven mountains made. We then released that to the seven mountains and encouraged them to make declarations that they would declare every day that would create a dome or shield of protection around us. And then the angelic realm respond to those declarations and form that invisible barrier. But if you don't do those things in a judicial way, essentially you're just open to whatever goes on. You know, you're under the atmosphere of the community you live in unless you rise above it and begin to administrate the authority you have as children of God to change it and effectively change that atmosphere. When we establish the city of refuge, then we're going to have to use these things to establish the government of God and to administrate that government on the earth, because we're going to be operating not under the laws of earth, but the laws of heaven. So if we don't know what the laws of heaven are or how to establish the laws of heaven for our particular situation or circumstance, how will we effectively administrate the kingdom? It's time we matured and understood how to use the judicial authority of the court of heaven so that we can effectively bring change and transformation into our lives and through our lives into all of our communities, nation, into the world. So we're going to, again, have an opportunity to practice this. You may well feel that you want to deal with a sickness. You may feel you want to deal with something in your own life. But again, close your eyes. By faith, choose to engage that court. Just spend a short time just thinking about, okay, what do I want to bring before the court today? Am I prepared to ask God to allow my body and mind to bring accusations against me? Am I willing to ask, are there infirmities or spirits of infirmity with accusations against me? That's one aspect that you might want to deal with. You may want to deal with mindsets or bondages or any of those things that you've used to effectively control your own moods, cover your own hurt and pain. You may want to deal with that issue. Maybe a familiar spirit that takes you down a particular mindset or behavior pattern, which you're finding it difficult to break free from. You may want to deal with that. So just spend just a minute or so just thinking about, what do I want to deal with in this process? Remember, you don't need to have to see everything. By faith, God responds when you call the court intercession, and you can hear the accusations as you stand covered by the blood of Jesus. So once you've chosen what case you're going to bring, just activate the eyes of your heart, by faith, convene the court, and just step into that court. Stand under the covering of the Word of God, the blood of Jesus. Receive your robes of righteousness right now. You don't make yourself right to go into the court. You go into the court to be made right. And just demand to hear the accusations. Once you've heard the accusation, agree with it, repent and renounce, forgive if you need to, receive forgiveness if you need to, and receive the verdict, not guilty. And as you receive that verdict, not guilty, you can release that verdict against those who accuse you. You're now free. You receive the papers of authority that allows you to act. You may need to make declarations. You may need to enforce that every day. But use the verdict that you receive as your authorization for the kingdom of God to come on earth as it is in heaven, in your life, family, situations. Okay, well, just a short little exercise, but develop your own words, terminology, things that make sense to you, so it becomes your own pathway, becomes the thing that you can do on a daily basis. Once you're familiar with this, you can step into court in seconds and deal with an accusation really quickly and be free from that. Remember, if the enemy seeks to bring the mindsets or negative thoughts to you again, convene the court as a contempt of court. Don't allow him to get away with it. And then the enemy will be under greater judgment when he's in contempt of the judge's verdict. So practice, get familiar with the process, and as you mature, you'll be given greater level of authority. If you're in benches or on mountains, then use that authority. Use that authority and administrate it on a daily basis. You know, don't just cry out to God help when he's given you now all that you need to be able to effect change in your life and in the spheres of influence that you've been given by God around you. Amen.
If you've been blessed by this teaching from Mike Parsons, come and visit our website, freedomtrust.org.uk/A/R, where you'll find a whole range of resources. God has given us a mandate to raise up a Joshua generation who will enter into the promises of God and encourage others to do the same. Are you part of that Joshua generation? Is God calling you to partner with us? We'd like to invite you to connect with us on social media. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and on our Sons of Issachar blog. Freedom Apostolic Resource Center. We're here to help you and others find and fulfill your destiny.